everybody out there in podcast land, you are listening to Unseen Footage. This is episode number 5. We made it.
Yay!
This is David Armstrong. With me, as always, is my co-host, Claire Yale. How are you, Claire?
I'm good.
Today, we are talking about the movie Point Break, which I'm really excited to talk about. Claire?
I am too.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good. Because this movie came out in 1991. It was directed by Kathryn Bigelow. Stars Keanu Reeves, Patrick Swayze, Gary Busey.
I can't Lori not Petty. Laugh.
I know. It's a weird, crazy cast.
Yeah.
But they're all like at some of their like peaks. Patrick Swayze, this is just right after Dirty Dancing,
uh-huh.
Roadhouse, Ghost. So he's like riding on a high. Gary Busey is like still kind of in his prime.
Right.
Keanu Reeves is just breaking out. This is kind of his breakout role. And yeah, so I described this movie to Claire as like a bromance, crime, cop, buddy cop chase movie kind of ordeal. And I saw this, I believe, from what I can remember, the first time I saw it, I was at a sleepover. And we were not allowed to watch this movie.
Yeah.
So we had to wait till everybody had gone to bed.
That makes so much sense.
Yes. Yeah. Because there's nudity, violence, everything that we're not allowed
cussing.
To have. Yeah, cussing, all that good stuff. So, but somebody had seen it because they had an older brother. So they said, let's watch Point Break. And the first time I saw it, I loved it. It's pretty much everything you play as a kid. It's cops and robbers. It's a bank heist and it's surfing. And I grew up in San Diego, so I never surfed myself. But I had a lot of friends who did. So
yeah,
it's pretty prevalent in terms of my upbringing. So that was my introduction to the movie, and I loved it. Claire, what did you think of it? Just your like overall initial thoughts of the movie.
I liked it.
Good.
I was entertained by this movie. My boyfriend actually took a picture of me watching it, and it's maybe during the chase scene or
the bank robbery when they...
No, I was going to say the heist, which is the bank robbery, but no, the other one, the raid. During
oh,
the
yeah.
raid.
Yeah.
And I'm so concerned. Like, I was totally engrossed in this movie and taking notes and like, I was totally engrossed the whole time.
You were concerned about the raid scene where just 4 cops are going to raid an entire house full of guns?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think plot-wise, there's maybe some holes throughout.
Okay, yeah.
Some inconsistencies.
There's a couple, I would think.
But, yeah, that one, I was terrified. I actually, I do this all the time, which people might hate. People do hate it.
Yeah.
I like to know the ending of things.
Oh, okay.
So that's hard for this podcast because I specifically tell people, like, not to tell me about the movie if I know we're going to do it.
Right.
And usually, like, if I know I'm watching something scary, I'll Wikipedia the movie and read the entire synopsis so that I know what's coming
up. What's coming.
And during that scene, I almost had to do that because I was so scared that someone was going to die.
So you didn't know going into it, like... so you didn't know anything about who the bank robbers were, anything like that.
Mm-mm.
So you didn't know too much about this movie going into it.
It's a confusing movie to explain. Mm-hmm. Like just hearing about it, it's like, it's a cop movie, but it's a surfing movie.
Right.
Like it doesn't make any sense to someone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah. For people who haven't seen it, very briefly, it's Keanu Reeves is Johnny Utah, an FBI agent who goes undercover, has to learn to surf because his senior partner, Gary Busey, believes the famous ex-presidents who are bank robbers who've been going around for 3 years, robbing banks, never been caught, he believes they are surfers. Turns out he has a good lead. Incidentally, along the way, Keanu Reeves meets Patrick Swayze's character, Bodie, who is the lead guru of this group of surfers who preside in the surfing town that they trace back to. So that is the basic plot of the movie, and it is confusing. It's initially a lot of different incoherent elements that are being brought together into one place.
Right. But there's like all of these really dominant male figures in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I think is interesting, that like the difference between Keanu's relationship with, what's his name? Busey?
Gary Busey.
Busey. Mm-hmm. Versus, like, his relationship with, Patrick Swayze. I can't remember any of their names. It's fine. I'm seeing their faces, and it's just not putting it together. I think, I mean, the first time I saw Swayze in the movie, like, my original thought was there had to have been someone younger, right? Like, I mean, this guy's been surfing forever, but he, of course, he's in really good shape because he surfs every day.
Yeah.
But there had to have been a younger person to cast in this role.
I kind of see what you're saying. I want to say, I'm gonna posit this to you, and I want to see, like, if you agree with me or not. Most people don't seem to agree with me, but that is because they love Point Break. And I love Point Break. I love this movie. But I've always had this kind of theory in the back of my head where I think Patrick Swayze and Keanu Reeves are playing the wrong parts. And I think Reeves should be playing the surfer. I think Reeves should be playing Bodhi. And Patrick Swayze should be playing the FBI cop. I think he should be playing the FBI agent.
I think Swayze could play the FBI agent, but I'm not totally confident Keanu could play Bodhi.
Okay.
Because there is a little bit of, like, nuance and subtlety to that role that I'm not positive Keanu's capable of.
Okay.
I don't hate Keanu Reeves, like, I think people do.
Yeah. I think he does a fantastic job in this movie.
Yeah, I do, too.
I think this is one of his... Besides, like, Bill and Ted, where he is playing kind of... He's kind of making fun of his own character from Bill and Ted, where he's, like, a dumb surfer. You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, Claire's giving me that look where she's like, I don't know what you're saying. Her eyes have glazed over. She's not listening to me. But Keanu is, like... This is, like, his most expressive, and he's playing more than what we usually are used to him playing. He has sarcasm. He's got... Subtlety. There's a little more subtlety to him, but yeah, there's a lot more subtlety to Bodhi.
There's this one line he gives when that I was actually really impressed by, when he's trying to tell Tyler that he's a cop,
right?
And he just goes, "Man, this is harder than I thought it would be," and like it's very Keanu, but it was so realistic because I feel like a lot of people would overact that moment, where in real life a guy would throw that away, like, oh, this is hard, like, I don't know how to say this.
He's probably just talking about acting, I think. they didn't know that Keanu dropped that's not a line.
She was like, keep rolling.
She's like this is good.
stick with it.
I could believe that.
Yes. That's why it's so authentic.
That's why it's so real, honest. Yes. That's Keanu. One thing that I had said to you and you had you pointed out you wanted to talk about was that I keep describing this movie as a bromance.
Yeah. Can you explain to me why you think this is a bromance movie?
I can and I will. I'll see if I can. For me, a bromance, I think the two guys connect really well, Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. They have, in terms of like the movie, in terms of beats of a movie, they have romantic beats. It would be the equivalent of like if you were watching a romantic comedy and you were watching the guy meet the girl.
Right.
So all the beats that he has with Patrick Swayze are romantic beats.
Right.
Of a relationship without them, you know, basically consummating the relationship, I guess. They don't actually go out, but they have a meet cute.
Right.
Like he's like, who's that? And the girl has been, oh, that's Bodhi.
And he's like, whoa,
exactly. That's like the shot of like the pretty girl walking in slow motion down the hallway. And the guy's like, whoa, right? Keanu has that moment. And then they have the moment where they bond over football. They have the football, the night game.
Yeah.
And then, he steps in, Patrick Swayze steps in to save him from the other gang. And then they just keep having these moments that I would see in like something else.
Does it ever become a rivalry versus a bromance? Because my thing is like, I do see what you're saying, and I think that is a good, that's a good justification as to why he has so much difficulty saying no to him.
Mm-hmm.
Like that scene right after, he knows that Patrick Swayze is the president.
Right.
He knows that he's the cop.
Right.
You know, and in that moment, my thought process was like, don't go back to your house. He knows where you live. You know, become part of witness protection.
Right.
But, you know, don't go home.
Right.
And definitely don't go skydiving with him.
Yeah.
You know, but he doesn't say no.
Right.
And I don't know why.
Like, because that's, if it were a rivalry, if it were something, if it were a little bit more like, I guess, in terms of like, I guess Batman and the Joker, because they like kind of stay, they kind of keep each other alive
right.
without killing each other, but they get very close and they still catch each other. Like, I think the difference is like Keanu Reeves lets Patrick Swayze go.
Right.
And then they're thrown into the skydiving scene, which is like a flirtation. It's a flirting scene.
Weirdest scene.
Patrick Swayze's like, you gotta trust me. Don't you trust me? And Keanu Reeves is like, yeah, I guess I do. And he does.
Why?
I don't know.
I don't understand why that's even there.
But those are the romantic beats of like, you know, if you think of it in like a rom-com, this like awkward, weird guy has been pursuing this girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then why all of a sudden does the girl be like, yeah, I trust you, other than I feel attracted to you in some
right.
way. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a romantic movie, but it has a romantic relationship, but it has those similar beats and those feelings. They run along the same lines.
Yeah,
I know. This is where you tell me all about how locals rule and yuppie insects like me shouldn't be surfing the break and all that, right?
Nope. That would be a waste of time.
We're just gonna fuck you up.
Trying to pick up any babes.
Oh, again!
Hit him!
Yeah!
Harder!
Back off! He's with me!
Kiss my ass! Back off, war child, seriously. Thank you.
Stay out of this, Bodhi.
So, talking about that,
yeah.
moment, the skydiving, and like that whole kind of idea, I guess I didn't mean to get into this so soon, but I just had a question about it. Do you think that Swayze, or what's his name?
Bodhi, yeah.
Did Bodhi tell Tyler that he's a cop?
No.
You know, when he's like, I know what to do.
No, and that would have made more sense.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure, because Tyler, when she confronts Tyler, Lori Petty, when Tyler confronts Keanu about being a cop, she throws his badge at him, mm-hmm. and she has, that's his gun.
Right.
So, for whatever reason, Keanu Reeves' character stupidly, has his badge and gun with him, and doesn't hide it,
yeah.
so she manages to find it.
Well, the scene right before is literally Patrick Swayze going, no, let's not kill him. I know what to do with this guy. And so, of course, you know he's going to go to Tyler bring Tyler into it.
That could be what
And the very next scene, she's shooting the pillow.
Right.
So I thought he told her, but then there's the whole skydiving
right.
scene.
Right.
And
his plan was skydiving. Right.
Her.
His
it's just a really elaborate
right.
way to get him to that van.
Right. Yeah. I think his plan all along was skydiving. We're going to skydive. I don't think he meant... I think Lori Petty found out on her own.
Okay.
I have to give that to her. Otherwise, that character's completely useless.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's the other thing about it being a bromance, is that Lori Petty's character becomes entirely incidental to the whole thing. They're like it doesn't even matter... Not that it doesn't matter that she's okay at the end, but, like, you're watching... Like, you watch the ending when they finally let her go, and they're in the desert. She's, like, kissing him, and he's watching Patrick Swayze
yeah.
leave. Like,
Yeah.
They're the ones who are breaking up in the scene, you know? Like, this, that's the bromance
but
element.
But what if it's not that they're breaking up, but it's like, he got away. Like, this is what I'm supposed to...
He's the one that got away.
But no, that's not what I mean. Like, this is my job and I didn't do it.
Right.
I don't know.
But then, that goes into the ending scene, the real ending scene.
Right.
Which is a few months later.
Yeah.
They're in Australia. Patrick Swayze's character talks about in one scene the 50-year storm and these giant waves, and he has made his way to Australia to surf these waves, and Keanu Reeves has tracked him and tracks him all the way to Australia and finally confronts him, and he has him.
Ugh, this drives me crazy.
He has him, and then he lets him go. So, I feel like that speaks to my point again, that he's like, if you love him, let him go. What other reason does he have to let, whole time.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But I feel like it's not necessarily mutual. Like, is it a mutual bromance or is it an obsessive bromance? Obsessive romance, but right. Like, is Keanu Reeves just obsessed with Patrick Swayze? Is it a mutual thing? Like, you know, I just don't feel like... I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Why do they go skydiving? I'm still stuck on the skydiving. Yeah, the ending drove me crazy.
Yeah. What were you thinking about the ending? Why does it drive you crazy?
It drives me crazy. I mean, looking at it from the perspective of a bromance sort of changes all of that, because you can justify it, like, you know, I'm in love with you, but I'm obsessed with you.
Yeah.
And I'm obsessed with this world you live in,
right?
And your idea of dying with the waves,
right? He's in awe of Patrick Swayze, I guess I should say. It's not love, but it does run along that same line of like, oh, I'm just in awe of this person, and it's just he's this unattainable person,
right? I think we needed a stronger moment where we see Keanu Reeves' character buying more into the world of surfing.
Okay.
Because, like, we see him starting to really love surfing.
Right.
And I guess they have that moment where it's like the
night surf.
The night surf.
He manages to actually surf.
Right. At night.
Right.
And that's when it kind of all clicks for him.
Right.
But it also, because that's the first time he kisses Tyler,
right.
It sort of becomes more about that. And I think for me to have it be really about him being in awe of Patrick Swayze, it has to be more about him.
Yeah.
Not in love, like we said, just in awe.
Right.
Of this mindset and this world, like something he totally hasn't been involved in. His life is so rigid and... he was going to do football and then he broke his knee or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like that beat that you're talking about where where he realizes it, like it all clicks for him in the night surf scene, but when he starts to buy into it, that beat is the skydiving scene. I think when he embraces how crazy it is and the thrill and that and the enjoyment of that whole life is when he buys into it. And I think we were talking about this with another movie, but that kind of beat where it's like, oh, now this character buys into it, and then everything gets pulled out from under him. So that's when Patrick Swayze like pulls him into the van and he's like, hey, so this is gonna sting, and he's like, shows like Lori Petty like tied up and everything,
right.
And he's like, so that's like, he's like, don't, you know, don't mess with me. So I don't know, but I feel like that's when I feel like that's the moment he buys into it and he embraces everything.
Okay, maybe. But at that point, he already knows he has confirmed that they're the robbers.
Yes.
So why doesn't his cop side kick in and be like, these are the bad guys. I just watched them kill people. That's also my problem with the ending, is that he lets him go, and it's for this whole, you know, being in awe.
Yeah.
It's like for the moment and all this stuff, but like, there's too much on the line at the end of the movie. People have died. He killed his partner.
Right.
You know, he kept his girlfriend in...
in the
desert. I can't think of any of the words I'm looking for. I was going to say hijacked his girlfriend.
Right.
He kidnapped his girlfriend.
Kidnapped his girlfriend, yeah.
Like, that's like a third grade word that I couldn't think of. But I feel like there's just so much, like, why doesn't he have a sense of justice and duty? You know, why does he give away all of that? And then at the end, he tosses his badge. Like, he really has. And I don't know.
And I think that's him acknowledging that he's fully gone over to that world. I think he does. I think it is showing him, like, slowly progress to buying into Patrick Swayze's world and accepting it. And he's not active. He doesn't become. I think we would have lost all stakes and tension if Keanu Reeves had just been entirely like, great, I love this.
Right.
Let's keep going, you know, and let's do more. If he'd been enthusiastic and all in about it, the fact that he's just kind of minorly complicit about everything, Patrick Swayze manages to manipulate him several times throughout the movie,
right,
to get him to force him to think these ways,
mm-hmm.
right? Like when they're in the desert and they jump out of the plane and Keanu Reeves jumps out of the plane without a parachute to get him, that's his last ditch effort at justice, I feel like.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to do this. But that was dumb. What does he expect to do now? And Patrick Swayze's right.
Yeah,
he calls him out. You have to, or we both die.
Right.
And Keanu Reeves is like, you know, he's like, shit. Yeah. That's my favorite. He has a different line reading of shit in every time he says it in the movie. It's great. But
that was the one moment, by the way, that I went, oh, please.
When he jumped?
Yeah.
And he caught up with him.
Like,
it was great.
Oh, gosh. Come on.
That was the moment.
Yeah. That was the one moment that I thought was crazy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. May I have your attention, please? We are the ex-presidents. And as you can see, we are, in fact, robbing your bank. So with a little cooperation, I won't have to blow your heads off. So I need just a couple of minutes of your lives, and we're gone. Dick, go to the vault.
So let me ask you this, then.
Okay.
If, with all of that said about the ending, who is the audience supposed to empathize with? Because for my favorite character, I think, was Busey.
Okay, yeah.
I loved him, and I felt like he was, like, so funny. He was a lot of comic relief throughout.
Yep.
He's a pretty solid cop who hasn't gotten the respect that he deserves throughout his career. And he gets shot at the end.
Yeah.
And so, like, my allegiance at the end of the movie is with him.
Right. But once he's gone, I think that speaks to, I don't know that the audience is supposed to, are you supposed to sympathize with somebody by the end of the movie? Like, do you know what I mean? Because if you're sympathizing with Busey, which I agree with you, you can do, and I think that's right. You are supposed to. You get the feeling that Busey's held down and, like, yeah, he's not the cop that got any respect or whatever.
Right.
So you want them to bring in Patrick Swayze so that there is comeuppance and closure for Busey's character.
Right.
But once Busey's dead, you don't, like, Keanu doesn't need Patrick Swayze to be arrested. Swayze doesn't need to convert Keanu Reeves. There's no, like, there aren't any more stakes to it. And it's just, they can just exist now in this odd sort of middle ground or whatever. And I think in a way that's Patrick Swayze's point, is like, it's not right or wrong, and that's why he's able to blur that line for Keanu. And then especially when now there's no reason for justice, Busey's character is gone, they can't exist like that, and that's how we've always existed, you know, or whatever.
Right.
I think is the point. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, because I don't sympathize with either of the characters by the end.
Right.
And you're like, well, Patrick Swayze just went to go kill himself.
Right.
And Keanu Reeves gave up everything.
Yeah.
So.
And then yes, we assume he's going to die, but my other side of my brain was like, what if he doesn't die? What if he makes it through?
Right.
What if he does swim away? I mean, of course, the ocean is very powerful.
Right.
But immediately when he unlocked him, I was like, he's going to hit you in the face and run away.
Yeah. Right.
That's all. That's all that's going to happen here.
Right. But then he didn't. Yeah, he didn't.
I was incorrect.
Right.
On that point.
Well, the other police stayed. So if he did swim back up on shore, they probably grabbed him.
Right.
That could be the ending that we imagine happened.
Yeah. Well, that kind of brings me into this thing about action movies that I feel that I have. I just feel like with action movies, I like them well enough. I liked this probably more than most action movies that I've seen.
Yeah.
I probably haven't seen an action movie in a long time, but I feel like one thing that really bugs me about them, and it bugs me about this one too, is that you never see any repercussions for things that happen. Ever.
Sure.
I mean, we do a little bit, like Keanu's character is arrested for a second.
Right.
Because he's part of that heist.
Right.
Which is absurd. They would never arrest him for that,
right.
A, because it's obvious he's a cop and there's, like, things going on. But anyway, even, like, simple things. Like, when you're in a car chase, there's, like, 50 car accidents. There's never any repercussions for those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just is, like, it drives me crazy about action movies.
Yeah.
Like, that, what else happens? I mean, like, crazy things happen and it's just, like, the next day you see him in the, you know, back in the precinct and he's filing his papers. And it's
I think that's just something you have to accept of the reality of movies, is that there's not, if they're not the main characters, then we don't have to worry about the incidental characters. What about that guy who's, like, traumatized? He lives right next door to that drug house.
Yeah.
And they fucked with his lawnmower.
Yeah.
You know, or whatever.
He puts his face at
him. Yeah, his face is in the lawnmower. Like, and that guy's traumatized now. But, yeah.
I feel like, I wonder if you agree with me.
Okay.
I feel like because of that, they're an essentially escapist form of entertainment.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the reason that I feel like I enjoyed this movie a lot, I feel like the reason that you did, there's a little more subtlety to it than most action movies.
Mm-hmm.
Action movies, true escapism. It's good versus evil. It's always some evil, evil person, and the good guy at the very end, the climax of a good action movie, or whatever, any action movie, I guess, is the bad guy is so evil, and then he gets his comeuppance.
Right.
You know, he's not brought to justice.
Yeah.
We don't care about justice. We want to see him die.
Right.
In the worst way possible. So it's like the building, the fire, you know, whatever. Like a huge epic explosion and he dies in that explosion.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I think the fact that these characters have managed to blur those lines and make you, if not sympathize with them at the end, you've sympathized with them throughout the movie.
Right.
Patrick Swayze is like kind of a sweet character, and so you don't want to see Keanu Reeves shoot him and die, you know, or I don't know if you necessarily want him to get away,
right,
but you don't want him to die, certainly.
Yeah.
And I think that's the interesting part of it. I think it's not a true action movie. It's more like they're very philosophical. It's very like they're very talky.
Mm-hmm.
These like very kind of intellectual characters, or pseudo intellectual characters, depending on how you look at it. I think Keanu Reeves is not dumb. He's not dumb in the movie, but he is. I don't think he's as intellectual.
Right.
He has good intuition about things, but you listen to the smart characters in the movie, and then you realize how not smart Keanu Reeves is.
I mean, it's Keanu Reeves.
I mean, it is Keanu Reeves, right. This is hard. but they're the action's kind of incidental. Like, they're not going from one action set piece to the next. It's like, it's just incidental to their lives, which is ultimately just about their philosophies.
Right.
About living.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Do you think that robbing banks is actually consistent with their philosophy?
Yes, and you know what? Just before we started recording, Claire asked if we could rewatch the trailer. And the way that the first trailer is constructed is it's bank robbery, scenes of surfing. Bank robbery, scenes of surfing. And up until that moment, I didn't really get it, but that was that's the philosophy.
Yeah.
It's exactly that. It's like they ride in on this perfect wave of a bank robbery. They make a big point of like they never go into the vault.
Right.
It's always just the cash drawers. So it's they're just riding this wave. It's very delicate. If they take time with the vault, they're going to get caught.
Yeah.
So they are in and out in a very right. fast 90 seconds. It's like surfing. You have to, you can't linger in a wave. You have to ride that wave.
Right.
So it, I think it is consistent yeah. with the philosophy. I didn't really get it until I saw that trailer.
That trailer really did a really good job yeah. of making a thesis statement for the film.
Right.
Because it takes that monologue. This one guy does a monologue, not Swayze, but one of his posse.
Yeah.
One of the other presidents. Yeah.
Roach or somebody.
Yeah. He plays maybe Lyndon.
Sure.
Lyndon B.
Yeah, Lyndon B. Or Nixon maybe and Nixon. Carter. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
yeah. But he is talking about it, and he talks about, like, it's just about the thrill.
Right.
And it's just about, you know, this. But Swayze's one justification for it comes when they've almost been caught.
Right.
And it's their close call with Keanu and Busey. Right. And he says something like, it's never been about the money. It's always been about sticking it to the man. I don't think he says sticking it to the man, but that's
the, but that's what he means. Yep.
And that I didn't really buy.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, too cliche kind of for me.
Yeah.
Where it was like, okay. Like, yeah. why don't you do something else then? Because this is, like, with guns. If
right.
you care so much about all of this, why are you threatening the lives of other people?
Right.
You seem to be such a, like, loving person.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like, for me, that was Patrick Swayze getting a little desperate about mm-hmm. things. Because that bank robbery had gone wrong.
Right.
You know? And that was the moment where he varied from the routine mm-hmm. of it. He went for the vault. And he got people shot, and then there were people there. Some of the people in the bank were cops, and mm-hmm. they still had their guns, and so it got very complicated. And he didn't factor in all those things, so it was. So I feel like he got a little desperate about keeping that group together,
mm-hmm.
and the same philosophy didn't work anymore,
right?
Because he changed his tactic,
yeah.
Because it was about getting a bigger thrill. Than before.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think it wasn't. I don't think it was a true. It's tough to be like, oh, I think that character's lying mm-hmm. in that moment.
Right.
It's tough for you to do that with movies. I always say, like, with movies and TV shows, plays, anything, like, you have to kind of accept that all characters are telling the truth.
Right.
Unless it's, like, very obvious right, that they're right. not. But I feel like that's one of those times where I can say, like, I think Patrick Swayze kind of grasping at straws.
Right.
To keep the group together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, that makes I don't sense. Know, that was my thinking for it.
It's basic dog psychology. If you scare them and get them peeing down their leg, they submit. Yet if you project weakness, you draw aggression. That's how people get hurt. You see, fear causes hesitation. And hesitation will cause your worst fears to come true. So it's simple. You project strength to avoid conflict.
Peace through superior firepower.
In terms of direction, I loved the shots.
Yeah.
Like the chase scenes, all like handheld cameras. Mm-hmm. And the I want to say heist every time, but I mean the other one, the raid.
The raid, yeah.
It goes from like sound, 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 and then immediately when they say go, it's like silent.
Yeah.
And that's when I started to be like, oh, yeah. I can't do this. Nervous. Oh gosh.
yeah. The raid's really good. The action sequence, the chase sequences are really good. In the middle of the chase sequence, I don't know if you've ever had this thought, but I had the thought of the first time during this chase sequence, he's chasing Patrick Swayze through all the houses and like through all the different things. I was like, if I was chasing somebody, I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't know which way to go.
Oh yeah, no.
How do they always know?
I thought the exact same thing because they definitely stretch it.
Like yeah, there's a couple jumps, of times.
Yeah, there's this one time he goes across an alley and there's like a turn right, there's a turn left, there's like other little alleys, and he jumps over the fence.
Yes.
And Keanu Reeves goes straight
over the fence, yeah. And he's like, I would have been like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Why would I have chosen the fence?
Right. Why would he be going through such an elaborate route unless right. there's like a possibility of you getting confused?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That was great. And then the other great moment in that chase scene was when Patrick Swayze threw the dog at him.
yeah.
To
Is that Patrick Swayze?
Ronald Reagan?
I didn't even realize that it was a masked man who threw the dog.
Yeah, it's,
I thought it was like
Reagan. Yeah, he stops outside the door, throws a dog at Keanu Reeves. Reeves catches him. The dog bites him, and then yeah. He puts down the dog.
I remember thinking...
he puts down the dog. I'm sorry. He puts down the dog, and then he kicks the dog away.
He kicks the dog.
Yeah, because you hear the little, dog got kicked noise.
Right.
The generic noise for that.
I love thinking about those little moments behind the scenes where, like, Catherine Bigelow's like, we're going to need a fake dog for this scene. You know, like, they just thought of that.
Right.
And, like, they throw a real dog, and then she's like, no, I want him to kick it.
Yeah. And then, you want to imagine, like, the standards and practices department being like, we don't want people to think that the dog died when right. Keanu Reeves kicks it. So can you add in a sound effect where the dog's like, so you know that it's hurt, but it's okay.
But it's all right.
He'll be fine.
Yeah. He's gonna be
okay. And we're like, oh yeah, we'll add that.
Yeah. And this is so much of a, this is a cliche thing to say, but it's such a like American film culture
mm-hmm. yeah.
that I don't even like dogs. I'm not interested in animals. And right. when he kicks the dog and you hear that sound, I was like, oh.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Don't hurt that puppy dog.
Right, right. But it was
he just looks tough. He's got right. no bite.
I know. It was very sad. And then it was over. It was the next moment. We moved on. It was fine.
Yeah. But I also thought in that moment, I was like, that's done. I mean, like when he throws the dog at him, I was like, he's getting mauled. That's a scary dog.
Right. I thought that would have been a great finale to the chase. Just he has to catch the dog, and now the dog's like either mauling him or like it's so panicked that he has to be like, okay, it's okay, it's fine, right. it's fine. He's like calm the dog down, and Ronald Reagan gets away. Patrick Swayze gets away.
Ah, Reagan.
Yeah. So then there was what else? What else?
Another thing that I was thinking about is that there's a lot of yelling in this movie, but it's fairly effective.
Yes.
Like, for instance.
Okay, yeah, give me an example.
I think yelling as a tactic is sort of annoying.
Yes.
And you can't do it for too long.
Right, I see what you're saying.
But at the beginning, they're just, you know, the two cops are getting to know each other, Busey and Keanu.
Keanu, yeah.
And Keanu wants to go check out the other car. Like,
they
the
go
getaway
to the, yeah,
car,
the car, yeah.
The dropped car.
The dropped car.
And Busey's just upset, and like he's been working on this case for so long.
Right.
No one's been listening to him. And Keanu just yells at him.
Yeah.
To get a rise out of him, and Busey just yells back.
Yeah.
And then they have this breakthrough.
Right.
And then Tyler also yells at him a lot when he first starts surfing, and she's like, what are you doing? Get out of here!
Oh, yeah.
But there's just a lot of yelling.
When she saves him.
Yeah, when she saves him. Right. But I just thought it was... I don't know. I guess I just wanted to talk to you about it.
I think it's an effective... Yeah. No, but I see what you're saying. Like, there can be... It's one of those things where you can just be... It's like an acting 101 thing.
Right.
Where it's like, I'm just going to be louder.
Yeah.
I'm just mad. To convey intensity.
Yeah.
And whatever I want to convey. Meaning, you know. But I think it is used very effectively.
I feel like that wouldn't... That same scene between... Keanu and Busey, if it was shot today, would be totally different.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they would use that yelling.
Right. And it wouldn't... Yeah, it couldn't be done in the same way.
Yeah.
He would have hit him today.
Yeah.
Reeves would have just hit him and then kept hitting him until Busey's like, what are you doing?
Right.
And then it would have gotten the same reaction.
Right.
But with more violence.
Aha.
I love violence. But yeah.
As does the 2014 viewer.
Yeah, exactly. They love it, right? Everybody loves
they
it.
They love it. Everyone loves it.
But yeah, no, yeah. I think it's... you might slightly disagree with me, but one of my overall feelings of this movie is that I don't like using the word organic. I don't like that. But everything to me feels earned in a way that, like, I'm not... I never watched this movie like... What the heck is this? Or what are they doing now?
Yeah.
Nothing feels unearned to me. They got me to a point where I was like, yeah, all right. I will buy that Patrick Swayze's plan was like, yeah, let's just take him skydiving. And then, like, but then he had, like, a sub-plan, which was a little more sinister, which was kidnap the girl and all that.
Right.
And then things like that, like them shouting at each other.
Right.
I'll buy the romantic beats of their relationship, mm-hmm. too. of Keanu and Lori Petty, starting from like their first scene in the when they're in the diner that she's working at.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that's when he's like his inn is the parents or whatever. Yeah.
And I forgot I want to talk about that.
Yeah. Well, we can talk about that if you want. But like just as an overall thing again, like I know there's a couple things that you're like hung up on. You're hung up on the skydiving scene and whatever, the ending.
Right.
I don't think it's consistent and there's still some weak stuff, but I was still like, "Oh no, this makes sense in terms of the world of the movie and in terms of how things have gone so far." I've been like, "Yeah, I'll still accept this. I accept the ending for what it is."
Okay.
Okay.
I still don't buy the skydiving thing.
Okay.
Because that's like, my sister's been skydiving, and she said you only free fall for like 4 seconds. And they free fall for like 35.
Oh, okay. So, okay. Well,
I'm pretty sure there's an inconsistency here.
There's always an inconsistency with countdowns. I'll just say that as an overall thing in movies, the countdown is never right.
Right. And I was thinking, like, this is physics, which are beyond me. All physics. But wouldn't he fall faster than someone with a backpack on?
No, things fall at the same.
That's right.
Things fall at the same thing. We sound like experts right now. You're like, I don't know physics, and I just said they fall at the same thing.
No, you said things fall at the same thing. Things
fall at the same thing, which is how Newton said it, I believe.
Exactly.
If it's Newton. If it's even Newton, I don't even know.
Oh, I can't remember. They used to do this thing at this it's college.
The bowling pumpkins. Ball. Oh,
pumpkins. They used to fill pumpkins with different stuff.
Yeah, and then they fall, right?
Yeah, and they fall the same. So I guess you're right.
Law of conservation.
Physics.
Or physics.
We know them.
Science. We don't know. We don't know what we're talking about.
Coming back to the movie.
Yeah, the movie.
Why do all movies have to be based in deceit?
How do you mean?
What I mean is, why I understand that he has to tell her a lie to, like, make him trust her.
Yes.
But why don't those male characters, I guess I kind of just generalized it to just be male characters, but there's always a moment where, like, this person that I've lied to, I'm now deciding to take our relationship into another level where we mean more to each other.
Right.
And we are now embarking on a romantic relationship.
Yes.
Why can't he stop and be like, no, actually, this whole relationship we've developed is based on a lie and it's not going to end up well.
Right. I don't know. I don't know. It does happen. An intense amount.
All the time.
It happens a lot. It's so weird. The first example I thought of was Aladdin. So, yeah.
I was thinking of Avatar.
Yeah.
Like same way in Avatar.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's all the same.
Yeah. And we just had it to Batman, when we were talking about Batman. And Michael Keaton has the big scene where he's like, I want to tell her I'm Batman, and he can't.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think it's, you have to, the protagonist, the main character, if you boil it down to just the basic plot elements of everything, the main character has to lose everything at some point.
Right.
So if he has the chance, and he always does, which is always the beat that annoys me, mm-hmm. is like, he almost does get to tell her.
Right.
The truth. And I feel like if he does tell her the truth in that moment, they would be able to move past it. And they might be able to have a relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like, after it can fix itself.
Right.
But instead we have the woman finds out that this guy's been lying the whole time. And mm-hmm. then it's like, and what else have you been lying about?
Right.
And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he never gets a chance to explain.
Yeah. And I guess the easiest way to make pull everything out from under the rug is to make it a really shoddy foundation to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then if they do, you know, they don't really establish at the end of the movie if they got back together, really.
Right.
So do they repair the relationship or not? You know? And either way, I think it's it might be an easier foundation to rebuild from if, like, you've yelled at each other and blah, 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 and this whole thing, and now that's destroyed. Now we slowly come back together.
Right.
rebuild, get to know each other again. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe
they did it in Aladdin, so there's hope yes. for all of us real people too.
Exactly. Exactly. But there was an evil magical grand vizier who was orchestrating everything. And because there was somebody more evil, that brought them together.
Exactly.
In this case, it's just Patrick Swayze.
Yeah.
He's not that evil. No. He's Bodhi.
He's Bodhi.
He's named after an Enlightenment person, you know?
Yeah. But they kill people.
I know.
They shoot that guy.
Yeah. He really didn't want to kill anybody.
Yeah.
I feel like that was an earned moment. Like Patrick Swayze himself didn't kill anybody until one of his people was killed.
Right.
Yeah. And then he was mad. Yeah. You know?
And I feel like he only goes into the vault because he feels like threatened or something.
Yeah. Or that's the next big thrill. He's like the bigger, it's like a drug thing. You know? He's addicted to that thrill.
Right.
And this isn't thrilling enough anymore.
Yeah.
Let's do the vault. And some of them were excited and some of them were not.
Right. And some of them were dead.
Nixon was excited. And then he died.
Did Nixon die?
I don't remember if Nixon died.
I think it was Lyndon. Lyndon
You're
B.
Right. Lyndon B. Lyndon B. When I was a kid, I didn't know that one. And the fact that they're all presidents
right.
Was lost on me. I didn't understand that.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't understand who Lyndon Johnson was.
Like,
I didn't understand.
There was this old guy.
Yeah, you're like, I knew Nixon, and then I knew Reagan. And then I was like, oh, I guess I don't know who the other two are.
Yeah. I feel like you don't even see Carter ever.
Not really. He's mostly driving, so you don't see his face.
Right.
And then Johnson has like one, LB has like one moment where he looks at the camera, and I saw his face, and I was like, I think that's Steve Martin or something.
Yeah.
That's the look into my brain when I was that old.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I must have seen it when I was like 10 or 11, probably.
Yeah, I
at that point
would have no idea at that point. I would have just taken what they said. President, those are all presidents.
Yeah. Didn't realize. No.
Look, four Ronald Reagans.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what 10-year-old Claire would have said.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's time for lunch. Angelo, it's 10:30. Right around that corner, there is a sandwich shop. They sell meatball sandwiches. Best I've ever tasted. Would you go get me two? Come on, partner. Two. Thank you. Utah, give me two.
Did you have any like WTF moments?
Oh, let's see. Well, one, I was like, how do they shoot that skydiving scene?
They did it for reals.
They did it for real. What about the person who jumped without a chute?
What about what? Oh, Keanu?
Yeah, that's not real.
I don't know. But that must have been done with stunt people.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a WTF moment, is that the actual presidents, when they're robbing, until that one where it's actually, like, you see everything kind of go down.
Yeah.
But the other times, those presidents are way skinnier than the surfers. Like, they're not muscly. They're just, like, skinny dudes in masks. Yeah. And I'm supposed to believe that the next scene, it's, like, Patrick Swayze surfing.
Right,
and he's, like, ripped.
Right.
It's like, that's not the same.
I would agree with you. There was some inconsistency with body types that I was like, oh, okay. Also, it's amazing that whoever was running in that scene, in the chase scene, had a president's mask on and was running.
Right.
And could clear all those things.
Right.
Like, it was great.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was great to see.
I wonder if... I was going to say something so stupid. I was going to say, I wonder if they had a mask that from the front had nothing on it. Because that would be so hard.
I get... Yeah, maybe.
That would be really difficult. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, maybe.
But I also think that would be such a funny scene to see, is like... them discovering they have to cut the face off the mask.
Right.
The first
that whole just
like,
that whole discussion. Yeah. Oh, the first three takes are like he can't even clear that first wall,
right.
And it's just a simple jump. Yeah.
All right. Let's do it again.
Let's cut the face out. Can we cut the face out? Don't look back. Don't ever look back.
No looking back.
No looking back. Yeah. And then
there's those first guys that we didn't talk about. The like
They're the drug the bully dealers. Ones. Yeah, they're drug dealers. I don't know if you heard this. I missed it this time and I didn't rewind it. But did they say they were Nazis?
He does call them Nazis.
Okay.
He does call them Nazis.
I wasn't sure if I misheard something.
Yeah.
Or if they were using some weird surf slang that I didn't know.
No, he does say that, which I thought was a very weird comparison because surfers by default are like the opposite.
Right.
Even though they're also, like bullies.
Right. And also only two of them were like Aryan. So I was like, that's a weird thing. I don't know.
Yeah, true. And one of them is a Red Hot Chili Pepper.
Yep. Anthony Kiedis.
Yep.
The lead. Red Hot Chili Peppers lead.
Yeah.
Front man. And he overacts. He overacts his line to the camera like nobody's business. It is great.
You gotta do it. You know what other characters I really liked that I just thought of are the night shift cops?
Oh, yeah. The guys, like other two.
Who just hate them.
Yeah.
That's such a funny idea.
I like that Busey gives them pizza. He was like, here's some cold pizza.
Yeah.
Good for breakfast.
Yeah.
That was my Gary Busey.
Great.
Thank you.
Great.
Thank you.
So good.
Yep.
I think that's it.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty much Point Break.
Yeah.
So overall, right? I mean, you liked it.
Yeah, I liked it.
Good.
Yeah, it was fun. Can't remember the name of it.
Can't remember. Yeah. We've been texting back and forth, like, setting this up, and Claire's called it Point Blank. We jokingly said it was Blank Check. And something point.
Blank. Oh, wait.
Blank Point. Or Breaking
break,
Point.
Break Point. Yeah.
Break Point. Yeah, great. So,
can't remember it.
We don't know what this movie's called.
But you should see it.
But you should see it. I think it's a fun. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah.
And Catherine Bigelow wins an Academy Award later on, in the future for Hurt Locker.
Yeah.
And I think she should have won it for Point Break. I don't care what you say, Claire.
Okay. All right.
All right, whatever. Any final thoughts? Point Break.
No, Catherine Bigelow's a mean... She's a bro.
She's a bro.
She's a bro, and I like it a lot.
She brought out a great bro movie.
Yeah. And she does bro movies throughout her career.
She really does.
Yeah.
She really does. Awesome.
Yeah.
Reeves, awesome. Swayze, awesome. Right?
Swayze's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busey. Busey's was your great. Favorite. Busey was Busey's your favorite. Great. Excellent. Well, you know what? That's that. That's Point Break. I still love it. Claire loved it. So we will talk to you next time. Okay, guys, before we go, I wanted to do a spoiler alert for the next movie, which will be next month. We wanted to do the movie Beetlejuice, which is really exciting because it's Tim Burton and Michael Keaton. We get to revisit. It's like revisiting old friends.
Round two.
Claire, what do you think Beetlejuice is about?
Okay, so Beetlejuice, I know, has Winona Ryder in it.
Great.
And Winona Ryder needs to exorcise a new house that she moves into. Which
of
is
ghosts
haunted by Beetlejuice.
Okay.
But I don't know what happens. Like, what? It doesn't seem like it could be a happy ending.
Okay. Okay.
Which I require, so.
Right, yes, which movies require. By Claire. Okay.
Yeah, that's it. I just think that she needs to, like, get rid of this Beetlejuice ghost.
Okay. All right. I will leave it at that, and we'll find out next month. We'll find out if Claire's right, and we'll talk about the movie Beetlejuice. In the meantime, this is Unseen Footage.
Oh, they also have a dinner that dances.
Yeah, the dinner that dances and the house that exercises.
Yep. That's it.
Okay.
Personification at its finest.
Bye.
Bye.